So this is something that we talked about last time. So we gave the example of huanying your welcome as an illustration of how people ji tong ya jia. Why is it difficult to communicate? One of the most difficult things most Westerners face when they are doing business in China is they seem to feel that Chinese people can't answer a simple yes or no question because we ask them yes or no questions and they rarely give us a yes or no answer. And then when we're asked a question, we always answer directly yes or no. And what are the downsides to that? All right. So the Chinese mind is conditioned to leave itself an off-ramp for fear of blame, punishment, or worse. So especially if you're an expat manager and you're talking with your staff, it'll be very difficult to get a yes or no answer depending on how you ask the question. All right. It is natural in Chinese spoken vernacular to be vague because it allows them to pivot to a better explanation. So the feeling that most foreigners get when they get into China and something has gone wrong is they hear a lot of excuses. And that frustrates the hell out of most foreigners doing business in China. And that's just how the Chinese mind is conditioned, not only to think, but conditioned to speak. So this is something that I think me and Mr. Stanka, we kind of practice this, in our one-on-one call a little bit. But if you encounter this tendency, what you want to do is you want to try to direct your question at the explanation rather than the answer you see. So instead of asking a yes or no question, direct your question at what you think they're going to give you as an excuse. You should already have an idea what the excuse is, and then you would direct your question at that, right? So did you wear a jacket? And I just want to know, did you wear a jacket? Yes or no? And then their answer may be, I think it was too hot, so I didn't wear a jacket. Or they're trying to make an excuse before you even, but they don't give you the yes or no answer. I just want to know whether you wore a jacket or not. I don't care what the temperature was. You would direct your question as, what was the temperature that day? Did you need a jacket? Kind of like that. All right. I kind of thought of that on the fly, but that's kind of an example of how you would direct your question at the explanation rather than at the answer itself. So this is something that I think Wayne is probably hearing this for the first time. This will be summarized in detail in the workbook that everybody will receive probably 1 hour after this event is over. The direct way to ask a yes or no question is, did you make this mistake? The indirect way to ask that would be, what do you think caused this to happen? All right. So when we change the way we answer this, so this is all in English. So this will make perfect sense in English. Did is too direct, given the indirect nature of Chinese culture. What is less aggressive and perceived as an inquiry rather than a rhetorical accusation? Chinese people always feel they're being accused of something, so that's what you have to be cautious of. Do you think opens the door for discussion? Make this as in, did you make this mistake, would be interpreted as an accusation and incite fear of repercussions. That's how Chinese people have been conditioned since they were very young. If they make a mistake, they're going to get punished. So psychologically, you want to try to avoid causing that, creating that sense of they're being accused of something, because now they're shifted the purpose of communicating. They're trying to make an excuse and defend some mistake that they don't think they should be accused of making, rather than just giving you the answers of the question that you want, where you say, I'm not going to punish anybody. I just want to know the answer. That's where the communication breaks down. And the word mistake is, of course, a direct criticism. So you want to probably change that word. And that triggers instantly a reflexive excuse or silence, depending on the fear factor. That's why when you're Laoban or a boss, and you're communicating with your employees and something's gone wrong, you ask a question, what happened? You get a lot of silence. That's why you get a lot of silence. When you shift the way you ask it to cause this allows constructive dialogue or more constructive dialogue to proceed, determining corrective action. All right. So again, this is all in the workbook. So you could just kind of read through this and just see how you change a few words and reword your question, especially with Chinese people who are very indirect in the way they communicate. You're going to get a completely different set of answers, and you might more likely get the answers to the questions that you're asking. Now, the main thing that I wanted to add here that I didn't talk about in the last event is that the language that you're using matters, okay? Because in our example, the direct way actually is more effective than the indirect way if you're speaking in Chinese. So you have to be very aware whether they perceive you as a Lao Wai who doesn't understand Chinese culture, or are you trying to be more Chinese, speaking Chinese, and trying to use words that can help you achieve a better answer to your questions. This is all based on experience, all right? So the levels of communication is level zero is just natural expression in your preferred language. Did you cause this mistake? Level one, what do you think caused this to happen? This is just to prime your mind that words matter. If you just adjust the words a little bit, you can get a completely different set of responses, all right? So you should be conscious and aware of that before you choose how to articulate yourself. Level two is when you add empathy of how Chinese minds interpret various translations and the influence of your attitude and your tone. So we haven't gotten into the attitude and tone. With that first example, we just basically said certain words are more like accusations, all right? Now, if you're empathetic to why Chinese people feel like they need to make an excuse or find a, you know, why they're afraid of accusations or being blamed for something, well, that's cultural. So if we're empathetic to that, we will change how we communicate. Level three is when you adjust your approach, mindset, attitude, approach, as in that infographic to more effective communications. And this, of course, comes from having greater empathy and awareness, which is self-awareness, cultural awareness, and situational awareness. All right. So I'm going to go through this really quickly because I want to, what we want to do is we want to keep these events under an hour, and we want to leave about 10 minutes for discussion at the end. This is all in the workbook. So I'm just going to go through it really quickly. Now, when we say level one, did you make this mistake in China? We might say, 是你犯的错吗? And the meaning is it your fault? And you're seeking a yes or no answer. Now, the feeling, of course, is, as we said, a direct accusation. And the cultural analysis is basically Chinese hierarchical systems allow the offender to atone directly with an apology or an excuse. So psychologically, the speaker and the offender are establishing hierarchical boundaries. All right. This is why certain things in China to Westerners seem like contradictions. What we kind of just taught you that this is kind of too direct, but if you are somebody's boss, 老板, being direct actually establishes the hierarchical boundaries. Allowing somebody to make an excuse is kind of like giving them a face-saving exit or a 台阶下. All right. Now, the indirect way, level one, what do you think caused this to happen? In Chinese, might be 你认为是什么导致的? Okay. What do you think caused this to happen? So the meaning is, what do you think caused all of this? The feeling is, so if you say this in Chinese, especially depending on the tone, the feeling is actually it's an implied accusation that actually may feel more intimidating depending on the tone because of the Chinese sense of paranoia that they don't want to be accused of doing something wrong. They don't want to be the one who's made a mistake. That's just the way that they were culturally raised, and that creates a lot of issues. All right, so if you say it in Chinese, Sometimes, depending on the hierarchical situation, direct is actually more effective. The cultural analysis is this. Chinese pessimistic tendencies would cause the accused to presume adverse personal detriment and react accordingly instead of answering literally. This is why it's so hard to get direct answers in China. And once you're aware of this cultural phenomenon, you will start to change the way that you ask for answers, even yes, no answers. All right? So we're going to do two more translations of asking a yes, no question. One is the colloquial direct way. All right? I might say, hey, 是什么一回事? Right? So the meaning is, hey, what happened? Right? This is more colloquial, right? The feeling is it's less formal. It's a less formal implied accusation, and it is generally less intimidating than a vague reference because it allows the perpetrator or the person you think made a mistake to pivot quickly to save and preserve face for all parties, right? So the key here is, how does this make the person feel when you ask it this way? Hey, 是什么一回事? Okay, that still is a little intimidating, especially depending on the hierarchy and especially depending on the tone of your voice. So the words themselves mean one thing. Adding tone to the exact same words will change its meaning completely. And that is an important thing to keep in mind. Hey, 是什么一回事? Or, hey, 是什么一回事? It depends on the tone, how this translation, colloquial translation, would be interpreted. All right? So, in the cultural analysis, unless it's expressed angrily, this phrase implies a deeper Guanxi connection within China's either-or perception and stream. So, Chinese tend to think of things in either or. If this phrase is spoken kind of jokingly, it can actually open the door to mutual problem solving. So it's really, you can't do a cultural analysis of this phrase because it all depends on the tone. That's the point. If I were just to translate it, you would have no idea how the receiver would interpret it because it all depends on the tone. All right, and the last one is a colloquial indirect way to ask this question. It would be, 发生什么事呢? In the second tone, 发生什么事呢? So this is generally the least intimidating. It's basically say, hey, I'm curious, what happened here? All right, 发生什么事呢? You can see the tone. Second tone, 发生什么事呢? The feeling is, it's more likely to be interpreted as a casual inquiry versus an implied accusation. The A before you ask the question and the N at the end of the question convey a friendly, non-contentious tone when expressed properly. 发生什么事呢? All right. So this is tone again. The initial character of the sounds for the letter A in the second tone of Chinese peeing expresses surprise rather than dismay. All right. So Chinese have characters for tones. All right. So this same character can be pronounced with four different tones. A is to call someone. A is to express surprise. A is to express disagreement, and A is to express agreement. It's just the sound, but the inflection of the tone will completely change the meaning of this one character, which represents a sound. All right? So first tone, hey, hey, Michael, hey, Mr. Toothman, hey, hey. Okay, it's just to call somebody. Eh? Eh? Second tone, to express surprise. curious. Something happened, eh? What happened? Third tone, eh? That's to express disagreement, eh? So it's followed with attitude and facial expressions. It could be accompanied with a, it could be accompanied with a disapproving stare, which in Chinese is dun yan, where it's a disapproving stare. The Chinese translation is dun yan, or lian se, which is your facial expression. All right, so I had to let Wayne back in, so my clicker got disconnected. All right, so the final tone, hey, that's actually to express agreement, okay? As in, hey, 同意, hey, I agree, hey, I agree. Or, hey, 说得好, hey, 说得好, well said, all right? So again, tones, very, very important in communicating in China. So we talked about literal tones. The lesson is that your tone, figuratively and literally, will determine the trajectory of the conversation and the likelihood of reaching an amicable conclusion or outcome. Changing the tone for the sound A completely will alter how your meaning is perceived. This is the thing that we need to keep in mind. With the Chinese honeymoon period, you want to start to adjust your mindset, which will give you a better, more positive attitude. And by understanding how tones affect communications in China, you can start to choose not only better words, but a better attitude with a better tone. Your tone reflects perceptions of your attitude. Perception management is key in cross-cultural communications. Psychologically, people respond to the attitude they perceive more than the words or the translations. All right, everything's being translated, and translations are as in the huaying, you're welcome. Translations never reflect what somebody really intends to say. So your attitude is really what counts. So if you're able to adjust your attitude, you can change how people respond and the communication pattern that you have with that person. All right. So that is it. We are right at 50 minutes, which means if this is a 1-hour session, we've left exactly 10 minutes for Q&A.